So is the Sheeran adopting non-Jewish melodies for use in the synagogue? Last week, somebody suggested that we talk about whether it's appropriate to take the melodies of popular or secular songs and adopt them for singing in our prayers. And you mentioned that there's a group of people who do this in Beit Shemesh. And this kind of reminded me of a controversy that swirled around Camp Magen Avraham, where I spent some of the worst summers of my life. And there were ugly rumors regarding people saying whether the Shabbat, or they said Shabbos, Zmiro, we say Zmiros, to a melody of a Beach Boys song called Sloop John B. And this is not a new question. It goes back hundreds of years. And Poskim in both Christian and Muslim countries were asked if it is permitted to set our sacred prayers to non-Jewish melodies. And about 450 years ago, the Bach was asked about this. And the Bach, if you learn Gemara, then the margins have a go to Bach. He wrote an important commentary to the Torah called the Bach. He wrote Shas and Tshuvas, which were called Shelus and Tshuvas of Bach. His name was of Yol Sirkis. He lived in Krakow. He had a short tshuva about this. They were doing it already. They asked the Bach, there are people in shul who are singing tefillah to Christian melodies. And, when you write a question, if that's how you word your question, there's a certain outrage. And the people who wrote the question were very, very upset. Look what these people are doing. They're using Christian melodies in shul. So what does the Bach say? Nir she'ein aser el davkavos. This is the essence of everything that's going to come up later. There are neutral melodies and there are liturgical melodies. Bach composed, in the old days, a composer was hired either by a nobleman or a noblewoman, and the music might have been neutral, or the music was commissioned by the church, in which case it's liturgical. It was meant to be sung in the Catholic Church. Bach says what would be aser are the melodies that are uniquely, that he say, uses the word miyuchad, that are uniquely used by the non-Jews, and that big, if you have a way to highlight that word chok, that's going to be the main word. This is a practice, a law of the idolatrous service. This is what a Gemara, if you look in the Chumash, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, made Yaakov Avinu comes back. He goes. He has the dream about the sulam, the ladder going up to heaven. He puts up a stone, a matzeva. He pours oil on it, and that was done by Yaakov Avinu. But 2,000 years later, when the Torah is given, Hashem says you can't make a matzeva for Hashem. It changed. Hashem says no more matzevos. Why? Because now the goyim are doing it. That's an Issur D'oraisa. If you would take a stone and erect it in honor of Hashem, you did an Issur D'oraisa, even though Yaakov Avinu did it. So that's, he said, things that are unique to their services, we cannot do. We cannot imitate, we cannot adopt, we cannot assimilate. No. The answer is no. Now, he goes on from a Gemara. There's a Gemara we're going to see in a second. The punishment for murder in the Torah is decapitation. How do you chop off a person's head? With a sword. That's what the Mishnah says. And that's Tanakam. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you have to use like a butcher's hatchet. You can't use a sword. And what does the Gemara say? There's a short discussion. I know that this is a very nasty way to kill somebody. Okay? Now, the reason that, and why can't they do it? We'll see the Gemara, because it's what Goyim do, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So you might say, Since we don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda Lalacha by decapitation, because we say Lav Minayhu Gamri, we didn't learn it from them, and we're going to talk more about music in a minute. We didn't learn the practice of decapitation from the Goyim. The Torah says how to decapitate the Avdrashos. Elaydei Chochmas Musica. Now you might say, and I am totally tone deaf. I have no musical gift whatsoever. But there are talented musicians who compose melodies. And there are Jewish musicians who compose melodies. So maybe the talent to compose a melody is not necessarily Gentile. It's a neutral talent. And if Bach, first of all, comes up with a melody, and then he says, you know what? I think I can sell this to the bishop and make a few bucks. Or I don't know if Beethoven composed liturgical music, but Bach certainly did. So maybe it first comes the talent, and then comes the idea, I'm going to sell it to the church. Or maybe even the first the bishop comes to him. He says, Bach, you know, we need a new melody. Mass is boring. People complaining. Mass is boring. Maybe something for the organ for next week. Maybe his talent is religiously neutral, and what he composes, he sells to the bishop. And ain't what? That someone said something. The ain't lama lahach mek Rabbi Yehuda. We can't say we're machmir like Rabbi Yehuda because we don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. We come near it ain't raya, but I can't say this. I can't say that music is inherently neutral. Lefima chikazav tosos. We're going to see this tosos in minutes. They'll show my tema. The mashvach davar gabduchukhi kem dechsev kra ayn sham al mafil ksuv baraisel mahani kenasa ilchok avodas kulum. Maybe things that are adopted by by the non-Jews, even if they were originally neutral, we cannot use. Nigunim. So certainly, the Bach says I would be very unhappy. I cannot say that it's permitted to take Bach's St. Matthew's Passion and adopt it for Lecha Dodi, because it started out as St. Matthew's Passion. But if it's not liturgical, just because Goyim are humming a tune like Sloop John B, I can't tell you that's usur for a Jew to take that melody and use it to comp and they were doing it for Yonah Matzah, I think. I think it was for Yonah Matzah. Okay. No, Kiashmara. They were doing it for Kiashmara. I'm sorry. We didn't learn it from them. Music is not the property of any ethnic group. The music is neutral, okay, unless it's deliberately composed for liturgical purposes. Okay, and that's the Bach. No one's firmer than the Bach. So Bach distinguishes between non-Jewish liturgical music and non-Jewish secular tunes. Now, the phrase that he uses is very important. It's Chok L'Avodah Zarah, and this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin that he quoted. Mitzvahs aneiragin. How did Beis Din kill murderers? They chopped off their heads with a sword. K'derech shamalchus osa. I underlined that in blue. And this is how the Romans are doing it. The Romans with a malchus in those days. Okay? Decapitation with a sword. You know, man, nivelhu. Rabbi Yehuda thinks they were doing it standing up. He doesn't like the way Romans kill people. You put the murderer's head on a block of wood, and you chop it off with an axe. And Chum say, no, that's even a nastier way to kill somebody. But you see, the Mishnah says, and the Chum say that's good. It's acceptable. The Gemara quotes a braisa. Yehuda, they elaborate. Yehuda says to Chum, I know that to chop off the murderer's head with a butcher's axe is nasty. But what else can I tell you? I underlined this in orange. It's very important. It's an Isser Torah which needs to be defined to go in the ways of the non-Jews. And for Rabbi Yehuda includes how Jewish courts dispose of Jewish murderers. It's a pasuk. Rabban came and d'chsev saif baraisel minay kagaminan. And the Chamam rebuttal, since we can find a remez in the Torah that people put to death with the sword, lo minayu kagamrinan. We didn't learn it from them. There's us and there's them. And if we, us, derive from the Torah a way to do a certain action, I cannot say that we got it from them. And the Gemara proved, and the Chachamim go on. The Elo Sema Hachi. If you're not going to agree with this, Adasani Sofana Malachim. Lomi Dachemari. Jewish kings die, all of the king's property is burned. That's respect for the king. And apparently this was done in other cultures as well. If you're going to tell me that everything that we do, that I can find an analogy in a foreign culture would be us because of a chukos seyem, then it would not have been permitted for Jewish kings to have their property burned after their death. When Tzidkiyahu died, Tzidkiyahu, you know, he's the king and during the Chorban Bayis Rishon. But the Navi says, when you die, you'll be shown respect, even though Nebuchadnezzar is going to put out your eyes and do horrible things to you. When you die, the Babylonians will burn your property as respect to a dead king. So we see that if we can find some sort of source for what we are doing, then no one can accuse us of imitating the non-Jews. Okay, that's very important Gemara. And then there's another Gemara. All right. And the Pasuk is here. It's an Achrei Mos, Vayikra. The practices of Egypt where you were living, don't imitate them. And what the Canaanites are doing, or I'm bringing you to the land of the Canaanites, also don't do. So what are these chukos? The Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, and maybe we'll talk about this another time, it's an interesting Rambam, we need to be distinctive as a people. Everything about us has to be distinctive. Even our architecture has to be distinctive, according to the Rambam. This is the Rambam. Your sound isn't clear.
Even the good things you can't take from the mitzvah.
We'll talk about that. But look, Rabbi Huda admitted. Look, go back to him. Rabbi Huda said it's better to cut off the guy's head with a sword than an axe. But since the guy is doing it, we can't do it, and that was a good thing. So no, I can go to a very great extreme and say no. And there are other opinions, but it's another subject for another. Today we're talking about music. We cannot go in the ways of the idolaters. We may not resemble them. Not the way we dress, not the way we cut our hair. We may not resemble them. Jews must be distinct. We have to dress differently. And in all their other deeds, all their other behaviors, just as we are different from them in our beliefs. Hashem says, I'm separating you from the nations. Do not dress in clothes that are uniquely Gentile. Don't cut your hair the way they cut their hair. There's a haircut called a blurries. Okay? Some kind of other haircut. Don't build houses like the Goyim. Jews are different. How different, we'll talk, maybe another day we can talk about it, but different. So the Chachamim say that, yes, the Psukim say, but we cannot do things like the Goyim. And how come the Mishnah says we chop off their heads the way that the Romans chop off people's heads? Because we have a Pasuk And if it has a pasuk, it shows that we didn't learn it from them. And the Balak says that based on this sugya, since we hold like the Chachamim, I will tell you that I don't think that music is the proper a melody. Let's talk about a melody. Melodies are not the part are not the properties of distinct ethnic groups. There is a branch of human knowledge called music, and people know music. Okay, Bach was like really good at music, but he was a human being. And if Bach would compose something, not on behalf of the Bishop of Würzburg, but just for his own pleasure, then you can use a piece of music that Bach used. And I might even say that all music is mutter, but that's not the impression you get from another Gemara in Avodah Zarah that Tosfot quotes. So our Gemara talked about burning things from the king, and it's based on a pasuk. That's why the Gemara in Sanhedrin says it's mutter. There's another Gemara in the Avodah Zarah that talks about burning the property of a king. Like on page 3. We can't celebrate non-Jewish holidays. I'm not talking about Thanksgiving today, so nobody bring it up, please. Eloi Dentra Akam. They're Goyish holidays. Kalanda, Saturnura, Kartasis, Yom Gnusis, Shamalach, whatever, these were Roman holidays. Yom Aleid of Yom Misa. The king's birthday was a holiday, and the day that the king died was a holiday. And we can't observe it. Okay, Divrei Rabbi Meir. It's not so simple. If they're burning all the king's property on that day, then it's a holiday. But if they're not burning, and it's a pagan holiday, it's idolatrous. But if they're not burning the king's property on that day, then it's nothing idolatrous. So the Gemara talks. I underlined it in green. Yom later, Yom Misa. Meir says, since burning doesn't signify anything for every mayor, he thinks that there's always something idolatrous being done on the day of the death of a king. Okay? That means burning is not, and chukah here means a chok of avodas kochavim. The burning is non-religious, because Rabbi Meir says whether or not they burn, it's a religious holiday for them. So the burning of the king's property has no religious importance. B'chal de Rabbanan Tzevi Sreifa Chukahi. But the Chachamim say that burning the king's property is a chukah. That's why they say if they're not burning property, Jews can participate in the funeral. But if they are burning things, then Jews cannot go to the funeral, because they think apparently that burning is religiously significant. But now we have a kasha, Sofen HaMalachim. The Brisa says that when a Jewish king dies, he can burn his property. But the pagans are doing it, and they do it for idolatrous purposes. How can we do it? Bichuki anan echi sofina. If this is of pagan significance, how can we burn the property of the Jewish king? But it's b'chuk oseyem. So we see the Gemara and Avodah Zarah doesn't bring any proof from a pasuk that burning the king's property is permitted, and therefore, even though it's the pagans do it, we didn't get it from them. The Gemara and Avodah Zarah looks at it differently from the Gemara and Sanhedrin. Tosos raises this contradiction. Here's the Tosfos on page 3. Came to Ksiv Sreifa. Hema. Okay, we're amazed. The two Gemaras contradict each other. Mash Hacha Dafagav Dechuki came to Ksiv Araisa Shari. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, yes, Chukah is pagan, but since there's a Pasuk, I can establish that we were doing it without their influence. We being Jews, they being Goyim. But the Gemara Avodah Zarah looks at it differently. Burning the property of a king is a pagan right. How can Jews do this? It's b'chuk oseyem. And the Gemara says, it must be according to Chachamim that's not pagan. So is there or isn't it? So this is a very important distinction. Yishlomar, there's chukah, which is purely religious. Okay? And if this is something that the pagans are doing for to serve their pagan gods, even if there's a pasuk that says it's mutter, we can't do it, which is what we learned from the Matseva. Yitzchak Avinu made the Matseva. But since the Canaanites started making matzevos, Hashem said, "Don't make matzevos anymore. No more. We can't. We use a mizbeach, not a matzeva." So we see that just the fact that it's referenced in the pasuk doesn't mean we can do it. If they're doing a pure, if the dominant non-Jewish culture does something for their non-Jewish religion, then we can't do that. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin is talking about things that goyim do. But it's not religiously motivated. So if it's not religiously motivated, even though they're doing it, then we can do it also. So again, I cannot use the melody from Bach's St. Matthew's Passion in Shul because it's St. Matthew's Passion, it's liturgical. But if I take a melody from Bach's first cello concerto, which is a very nice melody, it's kind of slow. But if I could work that into the Shabbos davening, then I can use Bach's concerto for the cello because it wasn't religious. So that's the distinction of the Bach. And Mishnah Berurah quotes this. That's on page 4. And Chazan has a contract. You can't fire the Chazan unless he's doing something really nasty. Shatz Menabel Piv. A shatz who uses vulgar speech in the street, O shemaranein Hashem, or he sings to Hashem with Gentile melodies. We should tell him, no, you should stop it. So if he doesn't stop, then you can fire him. But the Mishnah says, what sort of Gentile melodies are grounds for dismissal? It's a melody that's used in their churches. That's the Bach and the Tshuva. So right now, I guess Sloop John B would be good. You can sing Sloop John, you can sing Zmiras to Sloop John B. I don't think there's anything pagan in Sloop John B. And remember also, Let It Be has kind of a religious thing, and a lot of rabbis said that you can't even sing Let It Be at all. You can't even play it on the guitar, on the piano, because Mother Mary is referenced in the song, and that's like a really religious song. That's just an aside. Anyway, in the 18th century, there were a lot of Jewish communities that felt that there was some sort of freedom for the Jews. Jews start paying attention to what Christians are doing. They said, well, look at what the Christians are doing in their churches and what we're doing in our shuls. We got to like make our services more aesthetic. Excuse me, I have allergies today. We have to work on our services. And eventually, this led to the introduction of the organ into the synagogue, which was the huge thing that in the reform movement just broke away from Jews. Anyway, there was a very important gadol in Italy named Rav Yisrael Moshe Chazan. He lived in Rome. He wrote Tshuvos Krach Shel Romi. Rav Avadi Yosef Zatzal, whose depth and breadth of knowledge and memory are astounding, Rav Chazan wrote a tshuva about using Christian melodies, and Rav Avadi Yosef quoted it approvingly. This is a scan of the Sefer. It's never been reprinted in a modern font. Rav Avadi Yosef read it when it looked like this, and he knew it by heart, like he knows everything. This is an 11-page tshuva. It's a very, very interesting tshuva. The actual question that was brought to Rav Chazan was that there was a rav in a community in Italy, and people weren't getting to shul on time. He was sleeping late on Shabbos. So first he hires these people to go knocking on doors. Get up, get up, get up. Doesn't work. People are coming late. Besides, you know what? You know what the Christians have? They have these big clocks with big bells, and the bells ring the hours. I'm gonna get a big clock with a big bell for the shul, and it'll wake up everybody for minyan. So the sleepy heads in the shul, they got all frum. They said, "Oh, whoa. You can't put up a big bell in the shul. It's b'chukos seyem. They have big bells in the churches. We can't have big bells." So no towers, no bell, no clock. So this rabbi got very upset with his community. He built it. And then he wrote a letter to Rav Chazan. Do you think this is mutter? And Rav Chazan wrote an 11-page tshuva. The first part of the tshuva explains b'chukos seyem, and he makes the obvious point that, based on the Gemara, well, if goyim know what time it is, there's nothing wrong with our knowing what time it is. And if I say that shul starts at 8 o'clock, there's nothing wrong with my waking up people at 8 o'clock. And if I need to, I'll set up a clock that's going to ring the time at 8 o'clock, make people come to shul. There's nothing religious about telling you what time it is. Then he gets to music. He wrote an amazing tshuva about Christianity and our attitude towards Christianity. And we'll see what he says. Rav Waldenberg Zatzal was incredibly annoyed by this tshuva. So after we finish the Krach Shel Romei B'li Neder, we'll see Rav Waldenberg's rebuttal. But the Krach Shel Romei, Rav Chazan, was what you'd call these days a universalist. He really saw something positive in Western culture. And as long as what is done in Western culture is not overtly Christian, like St. Matthew's Passion, that's the Bach that keeps coming to my mind, there's nothing wrong with our adopting it. And he even felt that the Bach was too machmir about music. And it's the Bach who wrote that secular music is fine, liturgical music cannot be used. So this is the Krach Shel Romei. It's on page 6, and that's the kind of fonts that they used. So you go to page 6. Be'ikr dina shel Bach b'inyan ha-muzika, hanal. About the Bach and his attitude towards music. First of all, he says about the clock, I can base that on the Bach easily, because clocks are not religious. You just know, and maybe we'll see this next week, the Krach Shel Romei felt really that shuls should be nicer. Christians in Italy spend a lot of money on their churches. I don't know if the Jews had that kind of money, but the churches had very nice architecture. There's nothing wrong with making beautiful shuls. He felt it was embarrassing for a Christian to visit a shul, which was like, eh. I mean, look at it, compare, I mean, we don't have anything like the Sistine Chapel. But I don't know if he wanted to build a Sistine Chapel. He wanted nicer shuls, physically attractive shuls with an aesthetic service. And aesthetics needs music. Just like Christians have lots of liturgical music, we need music. Okay, and now he writes about the Bach. I beg mechila from the Bach. But everything comes back to Metzeva. Yaakov Avinu built the Metzeva. The Canaanites start using Metzeva. So Hashem says to Bnei Yisrael, you go into Yisrael, don't make a Metzeva. The Bach said anything that's taken by other religions, we cannot imitate. But the Krach Shel Romei says music is different from the Metzeva. Okay, even their liturgical music, don't compare that to the Isser of Matseva. Yes, Yaakov Avinu put up a Matseva. There's nothing inherently religious about putting up a stone and pouring oil on it that would move me spiritually, but it worked for Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It worked for them. They have their cheshbonos. Okay? The Chazal since there's nothing inherently Jewish about a matzeva, it's a stone. Well, okay, if Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov put matzeva, they had their cheshbon. But the Canaanites all of a sudden adopted the matzeva, then it makes sense for us to abandon the matzeva because there's nothing really attracting us to put up a matzeva to begin with.
I'm not sure if we know that they didn't do it first as opposed to after us.
I don't know about the Avos, but they did it. They did. If they did it, it's good. They did it, it's good. And the Canaanites adopted it, or they took it, or they did it first. Whoever, who knows? Hashem says, don't do it anymore. That's all. Don't do it anymore. We can get along very well with other Metzeva. Okay, so what did we do? We gave it the Metzeva. We brought animal sacrifices on a Mizbeach. Okay? And why a Mizbeach? Yes, a Metzeva. And a Metzeva? No, Hashem decided. Okay? It works. But what about music? But now, and I can show you there are other things that we do that goyim do, and we keep on doing it. Hashem never said stop bringing korbanos. All the foreign religions bring korbanos, animal sacrifices. But Hashem never said not to do it. The Ramban goes on. Hashem likes animal korbanos. He calls them a reach nichoach. That means they have an inherent value. They have a tam atzmi v'olam. I'm shakabonos, and we never had to give it up, even though the goyim were doing it. Because if we're going to give up everything that the goyim do, are we going to stop doing everything because of what goyim do, which is foolish? And I'll say the same thing. We're going to bring in, we're going to get, Mashiach comes later today. Bruce is a Kohen. You're getting free food in Beis HaMikdash. You're going to get your shlamim food. You'll get chatas. You'll get menachos. The bagels, they're like a bagel. Okay? You'll have free food, Bruce. And you keep on getting the free food. Hashem never said stop. He said
Burger
stop to
bar should
the
probably practice.
what?
Burger bar should probably practice with
I
those
tell,
who.
we talked about the pickle tongue. You're going to get a lot of pickle tongue, Bruce. That's it. So, that's it. And we'll give it to you gladly, Lee Netter. Okay, who else is a Kohen that I know? My wife has a cousin, Heshy, and cousin Stanley. All right, so you're number three on my Kohen speed dial. First comes Heshy and Stanley, then you come. Okay, but that's not music, because I can't say no to music. Beis HaMikdash, they played music, right? They had Levium playing musical instruments, they had a choir. We don't know their melodies anymore, but in the Seder Rabim, we don't know what their melodies are. We need new melodies. We need melodies. Music is good. Music aids kavana, he says. There's inspirational music. Music that inspires is neutral. Whether it inspires a person to worship in a Catholic church or in Lahavdil and inspires them to daven in a shul, that's this person. But the music motivates. Music. There is such a thing as spiritually motivating music, and it's neutral. What you do with it is up to you. Just like everything else, some things Hashem said no, stop the mizbeach, but he never said no to animal korbanos. Do them properly. The same thing for music; it's neutral. Without music, people don't daven without kavana. Without music that inspires, people don't pay attention to what's going on in shul. Human nature wants music. The fact that the Christians take music for Christianity, that's their problem. But don't say no to music. If one of the five senses that the body that we get pleasure from. We were burning Torahs in Beis HaMikdash. I understand that in Catholic and the in Catholic and Eastern Orthodox churches, they also burn incense. We still like a bracha burning many basamim. We don't say no. Fragrance is out. Or food. We never said food is out. Okay? We don't. Love hainu mishum she'enam shoy baruch ativa she'yad kol dam shavebo. Because these are just basic things, human nature, that we're humans. Everybody likes music. Now, there are different cultures with different music. There's Japanese music, there's Chinese music, there's, imagine, there's Bangladeshi music. But humans all over the world like music, and they respond to music. Okay? But will bring the person's stubborn heart around to spiritual beauty is music. And every country has its own culture. Every country has its own music. People, Chinese people like Chinese music. Koreans like Korean music. Look what he says about Italians. How can I expect an Italian Jew to appreciate non-Italian music? He's very ethnic. You're an Italian Jew. You like Verdi. You like Rossini. You like Vivaldi. That's the music that you like. And don't tell me that Italian Jews cannot listen to Vivaldi, who is, I don't know if he wrote liturgical music. Rossini wrote operas, okay? I don't think he wrote liturgical music either. That's what you want to listen to. You're an Italian. I'm talking it to Italian Jews. And I'm not telling people to listen to vulgar music. Okay? There is vulgar music. Vulgar music you should not listen to. The quality music is the music that's composed by these composers who are writing for the church. Vivaldi, Mozart, okay? Bach. Don't listen to vulgar music. He admits that there are certain melodies that are vulgar. They don't belong in the shul. There are trellis for kirkasos or brachovos, street music. I want quality music. Okay, if you're going to say what goyim do that they adopted that we can't do anymore, well, they use wine, right? I'm under the impression they have sacramental wine. How come we're making in shul? We in shul, the chazan until recently in Ashkenazi shuls was all over. The chazan made havdalah in shul. It got up on the bima, made havdalah with a cup of wine. Apparently, in Catholic churches, the Catholic priest also holds a cup of wine. When you tell people don't make havdalah in shul, of course not. Of course, we make havdalah. It stopped eventually. The custom faded away, but not because of Christianity. Just faded away. Every nation has its aesthetic sense. Every nation has what appeals to it based on its aesthetic sense. And yes, we're Jews, but we're also Italians. That's like the amazing idea. We're Italian Jews. Italian Jews need to hear Italian music. And yes, play it in shul, because it's neutral. Like, it's really an amazing line. I mean, after the Holocaust, I think it became very unfashionable, unacceptable to think that I have a certain ethnicity other than being Jewish. But this is obviously pre-Holocaust. He's around the 18th century. How can an Italian Jew ever appreciate a non-Italian culture? We're Italian Jews. We need to hear Italian music, play Vivaldi and shul. Not street music, not vulgar music. cultured music, refined music. And he proves that this is mutter. He tells a story. Okay, page 9. Omei Adonai Elohei Shamayim V'aretz. I call upon the heavens and the earth to be witnesses. Josie Be'igdol Shalcham B'Sofim Smyrna. Smyrna is in Turkey. But I don't know what they call it these days. Okay, its name was changed. But Smyrna, let's look in Google. I think Smyrna changed its name like Istanbul or Constantinople. Constantinople changed its name too. Let's see what's going on in Smyrna. 1 minute. I like definite knowledge, so bear with me.
Smyrna is Western Turkey.
I know, but I think they changed its name. I think it got a Turkish name. Hold on, come to Papa. No, I'm talking to you.
Well, Constantinople, it became Istanbul.
Also changed its name. Smyrna. Wikipedia. Smyrna was a Greek city. In Turkish, it's called Izmir. Okay? Then it was Smyrna, now it's Izmir. Okay.
Izmir, Shabtai Tzvi.
That's there. Yeah, he was from Turkey. So, it used to be called Smyrna. In the times of the Krav Shlomi, it was still called Smyrna. Okay. Yossi B'Yagdol Shacham V'Shal Sov V'Shem Smyrna. Yossi B'Yagdoli HaChachamim V'Versamim. Shem Mishar M'Gdol HaMishkal HaMuzika. And I saw great scholars who were very great musicians. Bosham Mufla, Avram HaKoin Arias. The greatest of them was Rabbi Avram HaKoin Arias. And he was a great musician. Okay, he was a great Talmud Chacham, a great musician. Mashkal musical shemin aram hitzicha k'tan agdol nikasatzam chizun. And for Yom Kippur davening, they need melodies that can bring humility. How do you learn melodies? El halchem b'kneisio san notzir machre pagod mechagam lisamen mehem. He would go on Christian holidays, he would sneak up in the back room of a church and learn their melodies. Kol muchna ha-meshaber halev, music that could bring humility. Mesaber me'osam ha-kolos kadishim kadusha ha-stav ha-pela. And they made amazing melodies for Kaddish and Kedusha. From melodies that he learned in the church. U'masei rav kezeh hu ha-siyo gadol kol ha-mam ha-for shla'el v'day bazeh. The fact that Avraham HaKohen Arias would go to a church to learn the melodies that he could use when he led the davening on Yom Kippur for Kaddish and Kedusha, that proved that there's no such thing as a melody that's pagan. Lyrics, yes. Words, yes. But melody is neutral. Melody is neutral. Okay? Melody is neutral, according to the Krav Shel Romi. So Asa, I underline this, keep going on, underline green. So Asa l'chadza k'neses al-loshen chen al-loshen kodesh. I'm not... What's usher is to not daven in Hebrew. The chazan has to daven in Hebrew. Chazan cannot lead the language in the vernacular. But the melodies, not the words, the melodies, I don't care where your melodies come from. Lo ichbas. Any melody that you like, that you think will inspire people, use that melody, even if it came from a church. And that's really an amazing, amazing tshuva. It's rare to find a posek to disagree with the Bach. If the Bach says no, it's rare to find a posek who says yes. But the Krav Shel Romi really believed in his universalist idea that, and we'll see more of this next week, Belineder, that humanity is humanity. And music is neutral. Humans need music. Music inspires, and Jews live in the culture of the country in which they find themselves, and that culture has its own melody and ideas, and that's what inspires the Jew. An Italian Jew is an Italian. That's like the thing, which I don't know if anybody writes anybody thinks like that anymore. At least not from people. We think we're Jews, and look what the Germans did to us. So much for ethnicity. It's enough for today that Rav Yosef accepted this ruling. Okay, and this is on page 10. Nishadi muta l'shilach tibla akiv magina chiloni shal shir agam shal kadosh v'kedusha. I was asked if it's mutter for a chazan to compose a melody based on a shiri agavim or romantic music, okay, lustful music. I find some love song on the radio. I want to take that love song and adopt it for use in shul. Sharki de tefila, nishas kochai kedoma. So avdil ben kadosh v'chol. Maybe no. I have to make a distinction between the sacred and the non-sacred, the secular. Then he has another issue. Can you double words? Like repeat words in your chazanas, which all the poskim say is no. It gets done anyway. So this is his conclusion about melodies. I'm a sefer chasidim. When you're davening, use the melody that you like. And if you're singing a melody that you like, the words will acquire more meaning for you. Use a melody that motivates you. And if it's you praising Hashem, so use a happy tune. Now, there's another posek was the Rokeach. He just said no. Maaseh Rokeach was a commentary to the Rambam. He wrote a very long passage. No, 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 no. If it was like the Maaseh Rokeach, Rabbi Yonah says, no one could daven. If you're going to, people like melodies that they like. And if you want to change melodies away from melodies that people like, you're going to lose people. Go see what people are doing. And that was the Pesach of Rav Avadi Yosef. And his big proof is the Krach Shalomi. He quotes this other Rav who snuck into a church to learn church melodies. So he even went against the Bach. And that's it. And how universalist we are and how separate we have to be, that's the big thing in the Rambam. Okay, so that's that. So, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you very much.
Okay.
So keep those YouTubes coming.
That's it. You go to YouTube. Find yourself. You're a chazen. Go to YouTube. Find a melody that you like. Go for it. Okay.
The YU Cantorial School had a pet peeve against using like Erev Shel Shoshanim, which was a secular love song for Kedusha, and any Broadway tunes, you couldn't use any of those things.
The Bachs. You'll see Rav Waldenberg. What was that song? He just said no. Oh, I really, really, really think that certainly after the Holocaust, what the Krach Shlomi said, what can you expect? An Italian Jew is an Italian. Okay? Yes, I am. We are Italians. I think the Holocaust we learned a bitter lesson about getting too attached to the culture in which we find ourselves. I really think that was one of the and between that and Baruch Hashem, we have our own country. So, like, what do I need Italians for? But this whole next week, Lina, we'll see. Yeah, he's a tremendous universalist. A tremendous universalist.
I don't understand why there's no difference between a catchy tune on the radio and then a song tune that's used in a church. I would think there's a big difference.
The Bach, it depends how you view music. Do I view music as something human? That's the Krach Shalomi. It's human. There's nothing inherently. There's no inherent meaning to a melody. The melody just, it's how he views. I wish I was a composer. If I was a composer and I understood, I had a musical sense, I would tell you how music moves me and what inspires me to compose. But the Krach Shalomi says that music just arises in the human, and the music that appeals is the music that you grow up hearing. If you ever hear real Japanese music from their notes, think about Yoko Ono. real Japanese music from no music. They play this three. It's totally discordant to me. But Japanese think, no, this is music. Okay? It's culture. So music is a result of music arises in the humans and the guy influenced by their culture, and there's no inherent meaning to a melody.
Well, we
But the Bach says no. I mean the Bach, the Posek Bach, not Bach composer, Lahavdil. Bach wrote a very nice cello symphony, and you can listen to Yo-Yo Ma doing it on YouTube. It's secular music, but Bach made his living composing music for the church, like St. Matthew's Passion. And the Bach says St. Matthew's Passion is quote unquote their melody, because they commissioned St. Matthew's Passion. So we can't take what they took. We didn't get St. Matthew's Passion from a neutral. St. Matthew's Passion is inherently liturgical, so you can't borrow it. And the Krach Shalom, he says no. He says all music is neutral. It depends on what people do with the music. Bach took a melody and he sold it to the church.
And we don't use this rule about architecture
The
or
Rambam
the.
says you should. The Ravid says he doesn't understand it at all. But the Rambam says so. And we'll talk about the Rambam another time, after Pesach, maybe.
It's also what we call canonicals, you know, the
But yeah,
clothing along with the.
yes. All those things. All those things. All those things. Yes. So it's a big subject. All right, I gotta go. So take care of
Okay.
yourself.
Thank
Bye
you.
bye.
Thank you, Stuart. Thank you very much.